You're listening to Boggy Talk, Faith Conversations in the Mud, a resource of Church on Bayshore.
Hey, welcome to Boggy Talk. It is kind of sad because it's our last episode of this season, season four.
Okay.
Of Boggy Talk.
Because we started in 2020, right?
Yeah, we started in 2020. This is season four.
Wouldn't this be season?
It's season four.
Oh, we'll start season five.
Yeah, we'll start season five.
Are they all labeled correctly?
They are all labeled correctly. There you go.
Did you have to go fix that?
A while back.
Yeah. Okay. Well, didn't we have like season 27 up? Like it was like just some
weird. What's happening?
Yeah.
Yeah. All good. But here we are. And so rather than do a highlight reel, we've got new content. We got new things to talk about because I know that's the least surprising thing for those of you. When you think of us, do you think people think we ever run out of things to talk about?
I don't think so.
We got plenty.
I think we run out of things to talk about and just keep talking.
And we just, just keep going. Well, we could talk about that. We can talk about that. But yeah, so today I'm going to talk about something that really isn't very fun to talk about, but it is going on. I think it's people may or may not have seen, but you probably have. And this is just the very recent kind of moral sin. I'm not going to say moral, just sin issues. And two very prominent pastors.
That's way more biblical of you.
You know, they had a lapse in judgment. No, there's just some very clear patterns of sin. Some have been, exposed explicitly. But we're going to talk about just pastors of very prominent churches stepping down. And the two that I'm speaking of, Robert Morris, who is the pastor of Gateway Church in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, one of the largest churches in the world, certainly in the country. They claim over 100,000 members. The many
lies. Lies.
I don't know. That's a lie. Yeah, yeah. And then Tony
Life
Evans.
Life Church is like we have 1 billion members.
That's right, because everyone uses YouVersion.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Tony Evans, who's, a Southern Baptist pastor, Lifeway Studies, who wrote a letter to his church saying he was taking a leave of absence. So these both happened in different ways and kind of came out in the news differently. Tony Evans was announced by a statement from him that he was stepping down due to sin issue specifically. I think it did say it in sexual. I think it did. I can't remember.
I don't think it did.
I think it did. Don't quote me on that. You could probably just Google it really quickly.
Yes, you could.
And then Robert Morris
was
exposed and that he has, he abused a 12-year-old when he, about 35 years ago when he was in his 20s. And then it was exposed because, I mean, just over time, the survivor, the victim had contacted him and contacted the elders of the church where he's serving. That has happened before he was serving as pastor at Gateway. But it just came out as a journalist broke the news. And so it came out and then he resigned, and there's a lot of controversy amongst not just those in the media and the journal, but also within the church of whether or not he should have been allowed to resign or fired, given that this was covered up. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to dive into all the details of these specific cases because that's you can do all that on Google, but we're going to talk about like, what's the deal? Why is this happening? Why are these abuses happening? And what's going on, not just with pastors and mega church pastors, but just pastors and small churches, big churches? What's up? How did we get here? And why is it happening?
Well, I think you asked the question last week in our topic about anxiety. Actually, I know you asked the question. We're wearing the same outfits because we just
recorded
it.
That an hour ago.
Yeah, yeah. when you said, is it more prevalent? Or are we more aware of it? And I think the answer is yes. Mm-hmm. Again, I think that we are more aware of it because of social media, because we're so connected. But I do also think that we just live in a world, in a culture that is indulgent. We live in a culture that is performance driven. And so we are seeing some of the fruit of that in the frequency with which we see people of bigger churches failing. I think it's twofold. One is it's always been happening because people are sinners, pastors are sinners, and they're not exempt from that. And then the second is I think maybe it's amplified because of how truly less spiritual church can be.
Yeah, and I think in these cases, these men were pastors of large churches. They're gifted. They are good leaders in terms of leadership. They speak well, and their churches grew. And I'm not saying that that success helped brush things under the radar, but it certainly could be that way. And I think a lot of times when things are, quote unquote, working, we don't ask some questions that we should ask.
Well,
and maybe safeguards aren't in place, or we assume, you know, and the truth is the longer someone's in a position, there tends to be more and more trust. And so it could just be, hey, we trusted him and he broke his, you know, broke the trust. Well, yeah, that's, but we can't let that, the more trust is built, we can't let our guard down in terms of accountability.
Right. Not with these two guys. And you said, we're not talking about the specifics of these two guys, because honestly, I was not surprised by Robert Morris just based on kind of
just some teaching,
observing him, teaching him. I was surprised by Tony Evans.
Me too.
So both of those are like different, you know, so I'm not talking about those, but I do think that we have to recognize that, even in a smaller scale, you know, maybe a church our size, maybe even smaller, a pastor, can be an engine, for economics.
Yeah.
Like he brings jobs, he certainly brings security for people spiritually and emotionally. And so when that person is going to be removed from that position, whether it be because he moves, whether it be because he's not meeting expectations of a certain group or because of a failure, there is the realization that that is going to disrupt things.
Yeah.
Generally speaking.
Yeah.
And so I do think there is the temptation from people who are involved and the individual to say, well, I can't step away or I can't share this because it's going to not only hurt me, but it's going to affect many people's lives.
Yeah.
But I mean, I would just say, I'm just sharing why.
That's perspective. You're not, that's not justification. That's just, hey, this is reality.
It's not justified. Yeah.
And the same could be said for the leaders of the church, whether it's an elder board or a trustee board, that they feel that those same tensions of if this gets out.
Oh, Tony Evans. Think about that.
I mean, you know, he's a, by all appearances, this great man.
Think
you
about
know,
Ravi Zacharias.
Yeah, exactly. When that happened, what happened to the minute? Well, I mean, rightfully, it caved.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm sure, like, that was a piece of it. Like, do we expose this? Because then what happens to the ministry and all the people who depend on the ministry?
Yeah,
and
not just the people who financially benefit, but the people who this is going to rock their faith.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And again, it's wrong.
It's wrong.
It's wrong.
Right.
But that's why people, like, get in it and they get deceived about
it. You get blinded by those things and they takes you away from doing what's actually right, what the Bible would lead us to do.
And, and if we don't, when we are forming a capital campaign team, and when I asked one of the individuals who's going to kind of be the one of the drivers of that team about like, hey, we want you to be on this team that assesses where we're at financially, what we're capable of doing, and begins to lay out like a plan for our church to do facilities, he said to me, are you going to be here? I mean, he asked me that because he realized if that's not the plan, then that all bets are off. You know?
Yeah.
And again, that's not making my,
that's not, not you, and but it is the person.
And I would say, I think we as a church, given you and Steve and Michael and Lucas and like the lay leaders, like we as a church would be able to absorb that more healthily. But other churches don't have that kind of healthy structure.
Yeah.
And it is often driven by that personality.
Right. And I think that is really dangerous for churches to be in that place where you are pumping a personality as your identity rather than, you know, Jesus.
But what do you do? I mean,
but part of that's our culture,
flock, right?
Yeah, people do like, and we, people will say they're not, there are people who would pride themselves in saying we're not consumeristic Christians.
Right.
We are people of the world. Like, but they tend to flock the same places where there is a personality and, so you just got to call it what it is and acknowledge it. And
dude,
I think
Matt Chandler, I mean, so we're not Matt Chandler in terms of that, you know,
I mean, I'm blanky and animated, that's about it.
So he's pastor in Texas when he was in like his 20s, just cause his charisma, his ability to communicate. And I'm not saying he got involved in a little controversy, but that didn't seem like a lack of judgment versus a moral failure based on what happened. But I don't know enough to really speak to that. But when he was in his 20s, dude, he just like started preaching and thousands of people started showing up.
Yeah.
Like, what do you do with that?
Yeah.
Right. Like we don't
that's
experience
not happening.
That. You know,
yeah, that's
like,
right.
But like that is just a dynamic. Yep. And I think it's the celebrity culture. Mm-hmm. I mean, we see celebrities are economic engines.
Right.
This is on a much smaller scale in the church world.
Yeah.
But it is still there.
And it's patterning ourselves after the world and then the patterns of scripture. So I think a good question to ask is how do we, like specifically individuals, but then as a church, how do we guard against this happening? I think part of it is personal, and then part of it is structural. You know, I think there are in our structure as a church, there's accountability measures built in with our trustees, and you know, not one of us, just not one person on staff or even a lay leader. There's no one person who can just say this is what we're doing.
Right.
There's, and I think in our context, there's lots of people who will give you their opinions and feedback, but also that's built into the structure.
Right.
You know.
Right. Right.
And so there is accountability at these different levels, which just help. You could also look and say, well, these other churches probably had systems of accountability, but did they? I mean, they obviously mm-hmm. failed in some ways, mm-hmm. or maybe that's why, maybe because they, you know, I don't think with Robert Morris this it worked, but possibly with Tony Evans, it's because the systems of accountability did work that he came forward and said, you know, and I hope that's the case.
Yeah. We really have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, I don't need to speculate.
And he went through a recent death of I want to be generous in that situation and say he went through the recent death of wife. Like, I don't know what temptations he went through. It seems like this was somewhat recent.
Yeah.
So, you know, but it's still, I mean, it happens. So.
Yeah. And then, I think with Robert Morris, it appears that it was.
He hit it for a really long time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
those are different.
Very different and wrong.
So. Yeah. Yeah, I think, absolutely. So personally, like, as a leader, I need to ensure that I am submitting myself to others, externally and internally.
Yeah.
And I do think more and more is the case, and this is the case, I think, in Robert Morris's church, but maybe I'm at least for a season, like there's these external boards, like ARC does that. Sorry to call them out, but like, I don't even know if they're called ARC anymore, but they had moral failure after moral failure after mm-hmm. moral failure. So these churches where there's this external board, that's just bad.
Yeah.
Like,
because you have this external board, usually of pastors of really large churches who are saying, hey, this worked for me, do it for you. And it doesn't really translate
to leadership style.
Yeah.
Like, I need people speaking into my life who see me.
These are your strengths. This is where you got to grow. And this is where you got to, like, hey, you can do this great, so lean into that. You don't do this great, find somebody who can, those kinds
or
of
change.
Things.
And all,
or just be better.
We have people in this church who've been like, so.
Yeah, you need to do this.
You know, you got to keep watching, you know, this. Uh-huh. And I do really appreciate that. So I think submitting yourself to that, being grounded in the word. And then I think, like, as a church, you need to have, as you get larger, you need to have appointed by the congregation people who are involved in accountability.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's where I'm not anti-elder model. I like the elder model, but those elders need to be appointed by the congregation and held accountable by the congregation.
Right.
You know, I think we get into the situation where it's like the inner group is appointing the accountability, and that's
bad news. I think about, like, even like our governance as a church, how we, you know, we have business meetings where anybody can ask
things. Anybody.
And you know, there are times when somebody asks something, you're like, okay, well, like, but it really doesn't bother me because it is a form of accountability. Yeah. Like, we should, even if there's no questions, the fact that people can and do, I mean, in our church, they do ask questions. It forces you as a leader who is, I mean, as not just a leader, but as pastors, and then also our lay leadership, it forces us to say, hey, we are accountable first to God, but also to our church for how we're leading and the decisions we're making. And we can't just stand up and just say, I felt like it, or I just thought it seemed right. Like, we need to be able to justify the decisions we're making.
Yeah.
And I think that is a healthy level of accountability, even though sometimes business meetings can be like, oh my goodness.
No, they can be. That's tough.
It's a piece of it.
Yeah. You know, I like that when people say they don't feel like they have a voice in our church, they're usually saying it at a microphone versus online. Like, seriously, So we're like, great, you do have a voice. Yeah, and you could say that. Like, mm-hmm. And I think there are situations where people truly don't have a voice, you know. And I like congregational accountability. I mean, obviously mm-hmm. the congregation can't be involved in every detail, really in any size church, mm-hmm. because it's just too much going on.
Right.
But there should be ultimately mm-hmm. a congregational accountability and a willingness to answer questions and mm-hmm. be transparent and show information. And that even that's even a smaller level. I do think like sometimes there's no accountability on a smaller level. I've heard people say like for every big name pastor, you know, that falls, like there's small faithful pastors, you know, and I'm like, that is true. But I'm also reading articles all the time. Just read one this week about a Florida Baptist pastor of a small mm-hmm. church who was looking at child pornography. So that's also like a strong arm or what is strong man, you know strong what I mean? Man, like, yeah, it's also happening in smaller churches too. And so there's got to be accountability. And I would say if there's defensiveness, that's kind of
what's going on.
Not just initial defensiveness, because when somebody says, hey, are you cheating on your wife? I'm like, what the heck are you? You know, like that's offensive. But let me like, oh, you care about me. You're mm-hmm. asking this question, you know.
Yeah. And I think a part of this is that in like, you know.
So stop coming into my office and asking like that.
Every day. Are you? Like with Robert Morris, like a big piece of the response to this was, yeah, but that happened 35 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you hit it for 35 years. So, I mean, it wasn't just sexual assault.
Right. Yeah.
It was sexual assault of a minor, a 12-year-old. So when I say just, don't, I'm not trying to downplay any kind, but
yeah,
it was a crime. And to downplay it, like to say, I do hope that he's repented. I do, but you would think there would also be like, I mean, that's disqualifying ministry. Like, even if you repent, like you shouldn't be the minister. Yeah. And I think that's where you have to just say, okay, like there are things that are because of our culture now, because of social media, like things just can't be hidden. I think in that time you could silence people a lot more easily. And I think that's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, granted, mm-hmm. can someone make something? Yeah. But like, that's a mm-hmm. different conversation. So I think I would kind of wrap this up with this is hurtful. If you've experienced any of this personally, and I think, you know, when we talk about ministry pain too, you ask the question, like, is this ministry pain stuff? Is it real when you see pastors talking about like the suffering that they experience in this? I don't know. You want to add on to that?
Well, I definitely think that we're in a different cultural moment. And if we're, you know, if we're trying to engage the culture, then we need to be sensitive to that. I think that, you know, you and I have both recognized that, like, you know, there are people, not so much in our culture, but still in our culture, who are distrusting of anything that seems patriarchal. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, are we going to be angry about that, or are we going to be sensitive to that? You mm-hmm. know, I don't mean are we going to be driven by that,
right?
You know, I remember the argument, you know, from churches, like, instead of being seeker sensitive, we're seeker driven, you know. And I'm like, no, seeker sensitive is the more appropriate word, like, because mm-hmm. if you're seeker driven, right? If you're seeker driven, then you're just like revolving everything around them. But like, mm-hmm. seeker sensitive means you realize in our culture there are people who don't know what we're talking about. So I would say with this issue too, like, you know, we're not woke driven, if you want to use that, but we are sensitive to that movement,
right.
You know,
like, and there's those are the cultural undercurrents. Those are the real things that people are thinking about.
Yeah. And so to me, it's always about meeting people where they are, but not compromising who you are, if who you are is in Christ, mm-hmm. not compromising the truth. And so, you know, I think we just changed our approaches in some ways. Mm. You know, I mean, so, you know, back when I was first starting out in ministry, it's like I would never travel. I would never like be alone with a female staff member. But now it's like I won't be alone with a young male staff member. You know,
yeah,
like
it's just a different dynamic.
Stay in a hotel, you know, and I mean, I think we may have talked about before. So, like, if I'm going on a trip with, you know, someone like, you're a young male member, like, I'm just, that's two hotel rooms. And yeah. I'm like, you know, but mm-hmm. I just,
it's cultural. It's where
this
we
church,
are.
My family, this church matters too much to mm-hmm. me to for that to be a question. Mm-hmm. And I think,
And it's a response. I mean, it is. It's culturally where we are, and it's just reality.
Yeah.
And reality bites sometimes, right? You know, like that's just like what it is.
It can be exhausting.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is. I mean, last summer, you know, and we experienced, I experienced, you know, people who just who believed something about me that was not true. And I think it comes from a place of their own hurt and distrust. And yeah, I was surprised that some people like, we're kind of easily swayed for just a moment, right? Like, oh, is this true? And that's just because that's the culture we live in, right? And so I don't want to be defensive about that. Like I invited at our business meeting, you know, this past business meeting, I'm like, hey, I feel like there might be some people who are sensing like, you know, like there's an ulterior motive here and there's not. And I'm happy to talk to you about that. Like, I think we have to run to that versus avoiding that.
Yeah, exactly. You can't avoid it and you can't be defensive. You just, I think a lot of times the natural response is just to say, hey, let's push those people. It's like, no, let's bring them in and let's talk it out and let's welcome it. Just that is the nature of ministry, I think, from this point moving forward. I mean, there's just increased scrutiny and all of it's bad.
What'd you say about feelings?
Feelings are real, but feelings are not true.
Okay. So sometimes people have a perception that isn't real about us, about our church, about me, but they're real.
Yeah.
They're not true, exactly. But they're real. And so I want to not win them over.
Yeah.
I want them to see the truth. I've been involved in the search for the next Florida Baptist Convention executive director. And he was like, when I get in the role, I want to get to know people and I want them to get to know me. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I was interviewing for this job, you know, I was telling the team, I'm like, I really love Jesus. And I just want people to see, I want God to show them that. Like, I really do. And so, I don't know. Like, all this just makes me sad. And it doesn't make me arrogant because I could be these guys. I'm not gifted enough to be Tony Evans, but like in terms of failure, and I'm just thankful for the grace of God.
Absolutely. It is his grace that sustains us. And I think, you know, it's silly to tell someone like, you don't feel that way or like you shouldn't feel you. Okay. Like if I go to my daughter and she's like, Joanna's like sad about something like, and it doesn't make me sad. Like it's probably because I'm old enough to know, like I can see beyond the immediate thing. Yeah. It'd be like terrible parent, like stop feeling that way. Like I can't change how she's feeling, but what I can do is like, here's the truth.
Yeah.
Hey, like you feel this way. All right. But here's the truth.
Right.
Like you feel scared right now. Here's the truth. Let's rehearse the things that are true. Yeah. And I hear is this, like in a thunderstorm, she'll cry because of the lightning. Like, can that lightning get you in your bed? No. Like who's with you? Like just recalling the truth. Yeah. And I think that's a similar principle. It's real how you feel. Let's go with what's true.
Unfortunately, you messed with her, then you went. Bzzz,
and now she's done. That cost me 3 years of trust right there.
I know.
Oh, man. Well, hey, what a topic to end this season of Body Talk. So
I will just say this, and I think I speak for both of us and our executive pastor, Steve Renna, hopefully anybody on staff here. And I say this at our joint class. You are always welcome to ask questions. And if anyone on our staff is ever defensive about you asking them why, I want to know about it.
Yeah. Why are you asking me? Yeah.
That's probably always how we should be because you give, invest, time, you know, you are trusting. So you have a right to question. But secondly, in this cultural moment, we recognize the need to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Forthright.
And, exactly. We want to be open and honest and they're nothing to hide. So, hey, thanks for sticking with it. Thanks for being faithful Boggy Talk listeners. And we will pick back up in August. Mm-hmm. So, we'll be dropping that in a couple of weeks because it is almost August. So,
it'll be really hot by then.
It's going to be so hot. Man, it's already, man. This is one of my least favorite times of year. Can it be October yet? All right.
Spring is nice. But spring the water is great. Cold. I like late September because the water, unless there's a hurricane.
Can't wait. Yeah, that's right. Unless there's a hurricane. Yeah. Details. Yeah. That's Florida living. Hey, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next season.
Thanks for listening to Boggy Talk. We are so glad you joined in the conversation. Go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss a beat.